It's 8 o'clock. This is KBNF Regional News for Tuesday, January 5th. I'm Patricia Naft. A Hotchkiss resident is starting a petition to get recreational marijuana approved by voters in April's municipal election. The town's Board of Trustees rejected all retail pot when Amendment 64 passed in Colorado. Mary Hockenberry hopes that a show of support will convince the Board of Trustees to put the issue to the voters. She says the idea of the petition came to her after visiting Trinidad.
They had allowed for marijuana industry there in Trinidad, and so I talked to a lot of people, even that had been against it, and they haven't seen any ill effects. I'm like, heck, let's just put it to the voters here and see what really the majority of the town wants. Not just who shows up at meetings.
Hockenberry wants to see more open stores in downtown Hotchkiss, something she says it needs badly.
I just think, you know, from being on the street, because I've been doing the flower project downtown, that we just need to get some vitality downtown. And I don't think this would solve everything, but it would help. We have a lot of vacant buildings down there.
The petition is right now just a show of support for the approval of retail, grow, manufacture, and testing operations. The Board of Trustees can vote to place it on April's ballot. If they don't, Hockenberry plans to get enough signatures for a special election forcing the issue to a vote. As per Colorado state law, minimum wage went up at the start of the year. KBNF's Jake Ryan has more.
Colorado, along with several other states, mandate minimum wage increases to keep up with inflation. Last year, inflation in the state went up by 1%, so the minimum pay went up by 8 cents to a new total of $8.31. Stephen Weiler is a professor of economics at Colorado State University. He says the 8-cent gain, even comparatively, is pretty small.
For the average minimum wage increase, I took a look over the last 5 years, was about 20 cents. And over the last couple of years, it went up, I think, 22 and 23 cents, respectively. So an 8-cent increase is actually relatively small this time.
For someone working full-time on minimum wage, which amounts to roughly $16,000 a year, the raise will mean an extra $166 a year.
$160, I mean, for people making $16,000, is probably, you know, that's something. I don't want to sneeze at that. But we're not kidding ourselves. I mean, that's not a whole lot.
One of the fears of raising the minimum wage is that it will drive prices up and cause further inflation, a sort of feedback loop. Weiler doesn't think that'll happen in this case.
You're not talking about a huge push. I mean, 8 cents per hour. It's not the kind of thing where it's going to cause employers to raise prices by a whole bunch either. There's also the sense that if you pay people more, they may be more productive, and they may, you know, there may be slightly less turnover. Now, again, 8 cents isn't magic, but, you know, a lot of these workers are working retail or fast food or something where there is a lot of turnover, and managers have a problem with that kind of turnover. It's hard to, you know, keep finding new staff and training them.
He also says the increase won't affect too many people, especially on the Western Slope, because the wages are just too low to live on in rural areas. Still, the raise may make employers more aware of purchasing power, and small businesses might raise wages to stay competitive. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
State wildlife officials are asking people not to feed big game animals. KVNF's Laura Pomisano has more.
In the fall, the digestive system of big game species like deer and elk change, so they can eat vegetation that's less nutrient-rich, such as dried grass during the winter. Joe Lewandowski is with Colorado Parks and Wildlife.
And if they're given nutrient-rich foods such as corn or alfalfa hay or pet food or bird seed, their digestive system can't handle it. It produces a huge amount of acid in their digestive tract, and it kills them very quickly within a couple of days.
He says during this time of year, CPW usually sees cases of people feeding ungulates in rural large lot subdivisions.
Specifically, we've had some incidences up in the Front Range area, in the foothills of the Front Range around Bailey and Conifer. But this is really an issue throughout the state.
Lewandowski says it's illegal to feed big game in Colorado, and CPW can issue tickets to people who do so. For KVNF, I'm Laura Pomisano.
The 2016 presidential race and local Colorado elections may push controversial and significant policy changes at the State House to the back burner during the annual legislative session. Benta Berklin has more from the state capitol.
The session begins on January 13th. Democratic Senator Lucia Guzman of Denver will lead her caucus for the first time. Guzman, whose own father was murdered, has been a passionate advocate to repeal the state's death penalty. But she says this won't be the year to sponsor a bill.
I don't have the votes. I would need the votes in the Senate. And so I'm looking forward to bringing that opportunity back to us for vote in 2017, maybe 2018.
Senate Democrats are also expected to steer clear of any gun legislation as they try to win back their Senate majority. Republicans hold a one-seat advantage. Meanwhile, the GOP will be trying to gain control of the few seats it needs to hold the majority in the House. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
Snowfall across the western slope has been heavier than normal, and there's definitely been more than last year. With that comes some danger. Ethan Green is the director of the Colorado Avalanche Information Center. The group records information and sets levels of alerts for the whole state.
We have 10 zones around the state covering, really all the mountainous areas. And so, where KVNF is in Paonia is, and the broadcast area you're talking about covers, basically four of those zones. You know, we started out with some snow in October and kind of early November, and then we had kind of a long dry period. And so that snow has kind of formed a weaker structure that's at the bottom of the snowpack, but it's not at the bottom of the snowpack everywhere. It's mostly kind of near and above tree line. And so we had some kind of elevated conditions sort of in early December, but otherwise it has been kind of a quiet year. Until the series of storms came in just before Christmas and kind of over Christmas, which put down just a huge amount of snow. And that just spiked the avalanche conditions. We went from, kind of what we call moderate avalanche danger to high danger and warnings just in about 2 days. And then we stayed there for maybe 5 days or something like that.
He says that during that heightened period, just dropping explosives onto the San Juans would trigger avalanches before they detonated. Thankfully, the snow stopped and things calmed down. The danger, says Green, is still there, though.
And over the course of about another week, the avalanche conditions have dropped into this kind of middle-of-the-road area, which is kind of a scary spot for backcountry recreationalists because we have some beautiful weather, clear skies, calm winds, and still some places where you can trigger a pretty dangerous avalanche.
To hear an extended interview with Green about avalanches on the Western Slope and safe measures backcountry skiers can take, tune in to Local Motion tonight at 6 o'clock. For KBNF News, I'm Patricia Naft. Stay tuned for Chase and the Tuesday Morning Music Mix.